Good afternoon. I'm only in a bad mood because I'm a baby. I'm a big baby. There are people missing limbs, okay? I can't breathe. Big deal. I have my legs and arms. I can see really well. Thank you, Dr. Brinton. I can hear. I can walk around. I'm still complaining. That's what I do, mainly at home. But I thought I'd share it with you today. I can't breathe. And I know it's not a big deal, and it's temporary. And Dan says he thinks it's allergy. He said the mold count. Right, Dan? Watch this. Right, Dan? Dan, is that right?
That's right.
Why do you think that is?
Oh, because... I would say because of
because you weren't listening.
Oh, no, you should have let me answer.
What'd you say, Dan?
The mathematicians at school all say that is correct.
That's okay. That proves you weren't paying any attention again to the show. Who were you talking to over there? I'm just going to call him out.
John Hadley.
Don't talk to him.
You can't gauge mold unless you're a mathematician.
Yeah.
See now don't you feel stupid?
No, you can't gauge mold unless you're a mathematician.
Dan was actually right.
No, don't try to save him. He's never going to learn unless we expose him publicly and shame him. It's like those stonings, those public canings and stonings they have in places. We have to take him out in public and spank him verbally. And what I was saying that you weren't listening to is I said, you think it's mold. You said the mold count is real high. I don't even know what a high number is.
Whatever they said, it's like in the 14,000 or something like that. I can't remember what it is.
Whenever I get and the worst is, have you ever tried to sleep and you can't breathe? And then you're breathing through your mouth, dry mouth.
Not to crap on your parade, Dan, but according to my AccuWeather weather app.
Pretty reliable.
Right. Allergy, like grass pollen is low, mold is low today, ragweed is low.
So much for that.
Tree pollen is low, so it might just be maybe where you live.
There you go.
They just said on the news, like earlier, that said that the mold was up and really bothering people. Mm-hmm. Ragweed was going crazy.
Maybe you
too,
misheard like them. Maybe they said molds, like the dig in your ground. Maybe molds are bothering people. Mold count is high.
St. Louis County's weather website says the exact opposite of what Limey just said, which says that mold count is high, whereas grass and weed is low.
That's two out of three. Dan, you win. That's two out of three wins. Every time. As I was saying, welcome to the show. We're glad to have you here. This is going to be a good day. This is my favorite day on the air. It's Thursday because it's like a nice weekend coming up. The weather is going to be good, and it's beautiful outside. It's the 26th of September, and as you probably already know, it's another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
I thought it was today. Okay, it's the 3rd of June. Mm-hmm. Glad to have you with us. We will be talking. I don't know. Is Londoff, is he going to be with us today?
I don't know. I've.
This is such a well-run show, isn't it?
I know.
So prepared. We didn't even know who we're going to talk to or what we're going to talk about. Oh, one of the reasons I'm mad at myself because I accidentally yesterday threw away Tom the Heckler's letter with all the jokes he wanted.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But I am today going to tell the other living head joke because there are two. So today will be the second.
I remember another one on the list was the cannibal joke with the blonde in the river.
You know that joke, don't you? Remember that joke?
Oh, yeah.
Here's what's happening. You've been 2 years at this. You'll start to accumulate like a library of jokes in your head.
True.
Like a hard drive. You will. And Tim's already started to do it. He can lock into some and go, yeah, I remember that joke. And you never know when you might need a joke and when it'll come in handy. Last night was the third and final installment of the Ken Burns country music documentary. I didn't see it. We recorded it, and I didn't see it because I'm in the casino till 3 o'clock this morning. So I haven't watched it yet. Other than that, this is what we call the Burke segment. And folks, you're welcome to jump in here and join us as we just kick things around. These numbers I'm about to give you are also the numbers you'll need for Scott Sherman because he comes in today. The absolute most successful and popular segment we have ever had on the show. And it was the case the first day we did it. So if you want some good legal advice, or a guy who will send you to somebody who will give you that advice, you want to talk to Scott Sherman, attorney at law. That's coming up at 4 o'clock, but you could call us anything that you want to know about, because we're really smart. All four of us are very, very smart and bright.
What?
And we, okay, three of us. Three of us just know a lot of stuff. We're really not book learning, but, you know, just life. So 855-282-8255. Or 314-821-0590. You're also welcome to call us to tell us we're not so smart and we don't know what we're talking about. That you heard us say something, we're just flat out wrong. Like mold count. Well, I mean, it was wrong. It's not low. It's high. See? That kind of thing. So, Burke segment. Dan will take some calls and I'll get to him in a minute if he has a contribution. Anybody have anything to say?
I do.
Oh, I knew he would. I could tell by the look on his face. Tim Woodburn, everybody. That's You're right.
Tomorrow is the annual day that I take my mother to lunch for her birthday at Annie Gunn's.
Oh, man.
Damn, so
she's going to love it.
I've already got her menu up. I'm already slathering at the mouth. What's that phrase? Lathering at the mouth?
Salivating.
Salivating. Sorry about that.
Slathering.
Slathering. Slathering. Slather is what you do with shaving cream, right?
Yeah. Well, that's close.
Slather might be a word. I'm not
sure. I've heard the word slather.
Jumbo, lump, crab, andouille sausage cakes.
Have you had those? Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I have not.
That's just the appetizer. That's just the appetizer.
You're not doing this for your mom. Oh, you're doing this for you.
Well, and stepdad tags along, too, because he knows he's getting...
But it's really getting,
well,
for
I mean,
you.
She likes it. I mean, it's her favorite restaurant, but, yeah. I mean, it's spectacular. And they change their menu up a couple of times. Every once in a while, they'll add something I haven't had before or seen before. They've got a couple new sandwiches, a fried... Buttonwood Farm chicken fritter on ciabatta bread. Oh, my God.
Hey, get her some potato pancakes.
All right.
I'm telling you, you won't be sorry. If you don't like, I'll buy them. You tell me how much they were on the menu, I'll pay for the potato pancakes.
I think I've had them, but I don't know that she has.
They serve them with bacon.
And they serve they're listed as Yukon Gold potato pancakes with peppered pecan wood smoked bacon.
Yep.
With bacon in them.
Beautiful.
Goodness. So that's
she'll be 70?
She was 70 on Monday, and so this will be... But Annie Gunn's isn't open on Monday, so we had to pick another day. All so right. we're going there tomorrow.
Good.
And the second thing is, I just want to tell you a funny story that I think's funny.
They should do a TV series about this.
What?
Isn't there The Good Wife is a show? The Good Son.
Yeah.
It's a new series starring Tim Woodburn and his mother.
They made a movie called The Good Son. It was with Macaulay Culkin, and he was psychotic, and his mother dropped him off a cliff to his death at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to come up with
something. Too bad that wasn't actually real. I can't stand Macaulay Culkin. I won't watch anything he's in. I can't stand it.
I love Home Alone, but that's about it.
I didn't like it because of him. He's not a good actor. He's just this goofy-looking little kid with dark circles under his eyes. He's weird.
The second thing I have is a funny story involving my father, who passed away a year ago today. And he was a big man, and he was a violent man. I mean, there's just no other way around it. He was 6'5". He was a Vietnam vet with a mean streak. And
did it mean when he drank or just any time?
Just mean in
general. Him off.
He got in a lot of bar fights. He got in a lot of non-bar fights. He'd get in road rage fights. I mean, he was a very sensitive and funny guy, but he could be a really mean, violent guy. And he told
How
me
big was he?
6'5".
That's good. That's a good size.
6'5". And he had lean stages and thick stages, you know, and kind of in between. But, you know, in his heyday, you know, 6'5", you know, maybe 230 with a mean streak. You know, kind of got it would fight cops and stuff. You know, I mean, it was I'd go on and on. But when he worked as a car salesman, he had to go get a new shirt at Famous Bar one night because he spilled something on his shirt and he had a date that night.
Famous Bar. Yeah, exactly. Anybody listening who's only lived in St. Louis for like 20 years, you need to understand that Famous Bar was our Macy's. I mean, Famous Dick's, Sticks, Bear, and Full and Famous Bar. Yeah, so I just wondered, for people who didn't know what Famous Bar was, that was the department store.
So one of his favorite stories was he had to go to Famous Bar to get a new shirt because he spilled something on his shirt working as a car salesman. He had a date that night, and you know he was in a bigger stage of his life, and they only sold so many sizes of shirts in there. So he couldn't find his size of shirt, and he walked up to the kid, and he was in a bad mood because he spilled a shirt. He's got to go spend money he didn't want to spend. It's an aggravating thing to have to go do something like that. So he's already in a bad mood. Walks into the store, and this kid behind the counter, who spoke in a very effeminate way, according to my father's rendition of this story, my dad walked up and said, yeah, you know where I can find a size 20 neck and a size 42 arm and a 20 neck?
We just don't carry shirts that big.
No, you know what the kid said to him?
I love you?
No, he said,
oh, excuse me.
He said, I'm sorry, we don't. Why don't you try Jefferson Tent and Awning?
Oh, come on. Wow. That's what, are you kidding me?
This is his story. Well, he got a, because this story ends with an arrest.
So he
reached across, across the counter and grabbed this kid by the shoulders and dragged him over the counter and was shaking and screaming and spitting at him and stuff. And the police got called and they put him in cuffs and they eventually let him go. But I mean, he was under arrest at one point for assaulting this kid for saying that.
What kid's a loser?
Why don't you try Jefferson Tetlani? So, I didn't realize that this place still existed, and I was serving papers last year. He died 16 days before he turned 70, last September 26th. So a year or two before that, I'm driving around serving papers, and I come to Jefferson and Gravois, and right there on my left, what do I see? Jefferson Tent and Awning.
Oh, yeah.
and the place is still open. Now, the cheapest thing they sell are like these awnings outside our Kirkwood Brewhouse or any restaurant where you have the awning with the logo and their name on it and stuff. Or you know, you can rent a tent for a party. The cheapest thing they sell is a couple $100 and then probably the normal thing they sell is in the thousands.
Right.
So I copied and pasted their logo onto a fake gift certificate and I sent him in a birthday card a $20 gift certificate to Jefferson Tent and Awning. And I wrote on the note, go get yourself a new shirt.
That's great.
That's beautiful.
And the place is still open to this day. How's that for a free plug? The place is still open.
I've heard of it.
It's just like a local mom and pop operated thing. There are not five or eight of them. There's one. And it's all downtown, Gravois and Jefferson, called Jefferson Tent and Awning.
They've been around for a long time.
Because this kid told this to my dad, probably, Dan, in 1973.
Oh, wow.
So that's how long it's been around.
Yeah. I can't believe that kid at Famous Bar said that.
Why don't you try Jefferson Tent and Awning?
Oh, man.
Why don't you try seeing if my fist will fit in your mouth? I think it will after I take all your teeth out of it.
Holy cow. Grabbed the kid over the counter and like his feet off the ground, came over the counter and drove him.
Because there was no big and tall shops, right? You know, those stores.
I don't blame him for doing that.
Yeah, I don't either. In the good old days, you could do that. When somebody mouthed off, you could just cold cock them, knock their teeth out, and then they never do it again.
Right.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You get sued, you lose everything, go to jail. We have a call. I'd like to take it because she's been holding for 5 minutes. It is Natty Girl. Natty Girl, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you? Natty Girl? Oh, Natty Girl. Natty Girl.
She hung up.
Well,
I think that was Terry.
It was, and she said she has to go by Natty Girl now because her husband was listening.
Oh, I know her sister. I know her sister, Georgie.
Georgie Girl, yeah. Bad, horrible song. Anything else?
Nope.
Burke segment. Anybody else? Oh, come on.
Oh, I do.
Dan Strauss, everybody.
Thank you so much, Frank. Brenda had called in, and she was on hold. She said to try that nasal spray. What is that, Afrin?
I used it before I came in. It works. I can breathe. It's just, it's no big deal. I just like to complain.
Okay. And then, have you guys ever watched that show called The Mask?
No.
Oh, the singing competition?
Oh, my God.
I never heard of it.
Oh, this is the second season.
It sounds stupid.
And it started, I guess, did it start last night?
What do they
like
sing? And they have a mask on?
Like American Idol, and somebody comes out and sings in a mask, and they have to guess who the person is. Usually it's a celebrity.
It is, yeah. It's always a celebrity.
Well, that and could be good.
It's horrible.
How
it
bad?
It is. Johnny Weir was the guy that they unmasked
good.
Last
oh, my
night.
God, I can't know him. Stand that guy. That's the guy who did the commentary on the Olympic skating, figure skating.
And he was a figure skater, too.
Right.
And he is... very.
No, he's triple gay.
Yes.
He's not just gay. He's the gay. It's gay. The only guy gayer than Johnny Weir is this guy on the Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. No.
Yeah.
The Queer Eye for the Straight Guy with the beard who wears the flamboyant, the women's clothes. Yeah, I know who he is.
But stay away from that show. It is the worst, most god-awful piece of crap thing I've ever seen.
All right, you have calls coming in, so Dan will be leaving us now to take the phone calls and see who you are.
How about that description? The most god-awful piece of crap he's ever seen.
That pretty much sums it. I'm not going to watch it.
That's a lot.
But the concept itself is not bad, because it's a celebrity with a mask, and you get, that's okay. Why not just put him behind a partition or something? I don't know. That sounds like it could be good. But
I can't remember if you like who I'm about to talk about or don't. I'll keep this quick. The Super Bowl just announced today who's going to perform at the halftime show.
Okay.
Jennifer Lopez.
Yeah, I think she's very talented.
Okay, I couldn't remember if you liked her.
No, I like her.
Okay.
Oh, I she's a good actress.
Yeah.
Singer, dancer. Okay. I mean, this woman does everything.
All right.
And apparently, what I think most of us don't understand is we see these famous people and we think, oh, what a cushy life. They work all the time. You don't just go out like J-Lo and dance. Hours and hours and hours, hundreds of hours of work and rehearsal. It's not that easy. Now, I think she's back. It says Natty Light, whatever that means. So, Natty Light, welcome to 590. How are you?
Well, it's Natty Girl in Cooterville, and my husband will never know.
Cooterville.
I go by that.
Oh, I put Natty Light on there because that's what she
is. That's okay.
That's okay.
Just take that off. Delete. No, Frank.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bring your show down, but I am so upset with the way that our president is being treated.
Well, this is, hang on. That's the one thing on this show that we don't do because you can't win. If we talk politics and it's pro-Trump, the other side all of a sudden is not going to listen to the show anymore. If it's anti-Trump, the Trump people won't listen. And
no,
politics divides people.
You're the funnest show on the air. I just wanted to say that because our dear president is trying his best, and I don't care if the next president's Democrat or whatever. You know, golly, let's don't tear people down. How's that?
That's good. I'll take it. We'll go with that. We'll let you say that. That's okay. Anything else?
Yep. Nope. That's it, babe. Thank you so much.
All right. Now, what is it officially? Natty Girl?
It's Natty Girl in Cooterville.
Cooterville.
Where's Cooterville?
It is.
You mean Coulterville?
C-O-U-L-T-E-R.
That's Coulterville. Yeah,
we call it, if you say Coulterville, then we know you're not from here.
Ah, it's like Louisville. If you say Louisville, so you're not from there.
Are you saying take the L out?
Yeah.
So it's Coulterville.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Got it.
And if you're really from around here, you call it Hooterville.
No, I like that. I like Hooters and I like Hooterville. Yeah. I do. I'm a breast man, so anything called Hooterville, Hooter this, Hooter that, I'm all for it.
Sure. Who wouldn't be?
You bet. All right, the Natty Girl.
Thank you so much. I just wish everybody would treat each other fairly.
Well, I know. I think everybody could agree with that. Nobody will disagree with that. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Natty Girl.
Limey, when you hear Natty, what do you think? What's the first thing in your mind when you hear the word Natty?
Natty Light, the beer.
The beer. That's it.
Yeah, and until she said that yesterday, I never hear that. I don't hear anybody say Natty.
Natural Light is the one beer that has more nicknames because it's a cheap beer. It's a beer we drank in college or right after college, you know, because it was cheap by the case, and everybody had their own nickname for it. Natty Light.
Why is it cheaper? I don't know anything about beer.
I don't know. Anheuser-Busch brews it, but you know they have the Michelob Light was always the highest beer.
The ingredients
are
not as.
I don't know. It's just
probably something.
It's just
like
marketed
that.
as a
Anheuser-Busch does.
Mm-hmm.
Brews Natural Light, yeah.
Wouldn't it be something if you found that it's all the same exact beer, and in your head you okay?
No, because I tasted them all.
Okay,
no.
There's a surprise.
Well, I mean, in college we used to call it. You know, this is what we called the case of beer. Hey, go get a case of Natty Light. And other guys would say, hey, go get a case of the Snatch. And that Natty Light was called, because N-A-T, it was called, that's what they jokingly referred to it as, was that.
Okay.
And it had other nicknames as well.
I'm sure.
They're unairable.
I'm sure. Yeah. You can tell us that off the air. If you want to know them, you can email. Give me your email address. Tim.
Franco Pinion.
No, it's not. Let's talk to Stan. He's been waiting, and the wait is over. Stan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
How's the gang? I'm well, thank you.
Well, let me check. How are we doing?
Yeah. Great.
Sounds like we're okay, Stan.
Well, I guess I wasn't really honest with you. I went to bed depressed last night.
Yeah.
I drive a truck. I'm currently in South Carolina.
Wow.
And, it's a pretty location down here. However, I went to
And there's bed always a however in life.
Oh, man.
Gotcha.
But anyway. Jeez, old Pete.
Jeez, old Pete. Haven't heard that in a while.
Wow.
Stan?
Go ahead, Stan.
Okay, I'm going to start over here. I went to bed depressed because I have nothing to look forward to as I drive tomorrow afternoon.
Well, that's not true.
Well, I do. I mean, I do, but not my favorite show.
Well, have you heard every show? You go back to the podcasts and pick up an old show from weeks ago. You probably forgot about whatever was in there.
Well, my thought was, why don't we do some best of for the past 20 years?
On Friday.
Yeah.
Because I have no say in that.
You already have a show on
Friday. If I ran the station, that's exactly what we'd do. Friday would be all the Playhouse jokes Monday through Thursday for people who missed them. And then a couple of segments, and there's your Friday show. And they used to do that. One place I worked, they did that, and they sold it. They made money on it. But I don't have any say in anything here except what's in this 3 hours.
Well, tell that Texas boy.
Well, I can't tell him. He's not going to own it that much longer, so I'd be wasting my breath. I'd have to tell it to whoever the next owners are. That's Texas coming around boy. Pretty quickly.
Well, I appreciate the heads up. I forgot about the podcast.
All right, Stan. Be safe. Be careful.
I enjoy it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Anybody else, Burke segment, Limey?
Nope. No?
Let's close it. Burke segment's officially closed. There are a couple of things as we work our way toward... And by the way, folks, you can still call up to the top of the hour if there's anything you want to know.
And we're supposed to talk to Triple Sticks. I'm trying to get a hold of him.
Okay.
It's Three Sticks.
Our Three Sticks. Three Sticks.
855-282-8255 or 314-821-0590. There are a couple of things that I just accumulated over the last few days. I made little notes about, and we never got around to them. And one of them is very interesting to me. There's apparently a document. I love documentaries. And apparently, there's a documentary called Missing Richard Simmons. And basically, it's about trying to find out what the heck happened to Richard Simmons. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, what did happen to this guy? He was everywhere. He was on everybody's show. I've met him 3 times. He's been on our show a couple of times. Nice guy, flitting around in his little outfit, but it's just like somebody flipped a switch and he's gone.
Did he get sick?
I don't know.
I thought he got sick and was kind of like just stayed out of the limelight.
He must really be sick because a guy who is that has that kind of ego and is that big a self promoter to just boom, stop. He must have been sick for a long time, or he just changed his life. And said, I'm tired of doing that. I got plenty of money and I'll just go, live on a farm or something. So I just thought it was interesting. And then Madonna, have you seen Madonna lately with that eye patch and all that stuff? I think Madonna can't accept the fact that one, how old do you think she is? Go ahead, Limey. Madonna.
50.
61.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'll say 61.
Damn, that's right. So, I don't think she is dealing with it well, or the fact that she has been overshadowed by people like, Lady Gaga. At one time, Madonna was a big deal. So here's what she's doing. She just kicked off a new tour, and she's going to do small venues. Like 500-800 people, whatever. Not the big stuff, because one, she couldn't fill those big places, so... She's going to do, by the way, Madonna holds the record for being the highest grossing concert tour by a woman. No woman made more money touring than Madonna.
I believe it.
So here's the deal. Her new tour is called Madam X. All right. And the first place she played was 2,100 people. So a couple of thousand, 1,500, 2,500, that's what she's doing. Here are the ticket prices to see Madonna. The average ticket is $300. That's just an average seat.
That's a bit pricey.
They go up to, by the way, there's a $750 ticket, but it's a non-VIP ticket. So I don't even know what that means.
How small are the venues?
I just said 2,000 people.
Okay.
The first one was 2,100 people. It's smaller places. Check this out, though. There's a $2,000 ticket to see Madonna. And that gets you pre-show reception, backstage tour, 2000. No thanks.
I'm all right.
No thanks.
I'll pass.
We'll see how she does with this.
You know, tonight's Blues game is going to be different than any other game this entire year, and it's on this subject.
Hang on, Dan. Somebody's calling in if you want to take a look at your phone. Thank you.
It's televised tonight. Their preseason game is televised tonight in Michigan. There's a company in Canada that picks an arena, a hockey arena, every year, and they donate $150,000 for the upgrade of that arena, and they have a partnership with the NHL where the NHL plays an exhibition game in that building, and they televise it. This arena the Blues are playing in tonight on TV, on NBC Sports Network, the seating capacity is 700.
Whoa.
What? Wow. It's so small, the Blues couldn't even get their radio broadcast team. Their game's not going to be on radio tonight.
It's like a training facility.
It's the oldest ice rink in the world, allegedly, and they were given money to renovate it. And so when you see this game tonight, you're going to see it's going to be like the Afton ice rink. The Afton ice rink in Afton probably has a seating capacity somewhere close to that for their primary rink, or maybe even a little more. 700 people. It's like, which is like, you know, around the rink, that might be like 9 rows of seats around the rink, and that's it for an NHL game.
Wow. And then they cost more because there's so few, and they charge more.
No, well, I know because it's only one game that they're playing. I don't know what the ticket prices are for it. I'm sure, but it's close to Detroit, so I'm sure they're pretty high. Because in fact, I'll look it up on StubHub to see what they are.
I'll tell you a great story. This is in Jerry Weintraub's book. Jerry Weintraub passed away a couple of years ago. He's probably one of the greatest concert promoters ever. He was responsible for Frank Sinatra's comeback show in Madison Square Garden. That thing that Elvis did in the leather outfit in '68 or whatever it was, the Elvis comeback. That was a Jerry Weintraub production. This is a great story. Weintraub. When he cut a deal with Colonel Parker for Elvis to do some concerts, not just the TV special, it said in something in the contract, something to the effect of, if the house isn't sold, if there's an empty seat in the venue, it was stated that way, if there are any empty seats, that, you know, like Parker had to pay Weintraub for those empty seats. I'm sorry, Weintraub did. Colonel Parker said, Elvis will not perform if there's an empty seat in the house. So if there are any empty seats, you, Jerry Weintraub, are going to cough up a lot of money as a penalty. Weintraub, they did not sell out some of the concerts, and he had a crew go in and unbolt the seats because it said if there's an empty seat. He just took out the empty seats. It's a great story.
Nice.
And that way, you know, that way he wasn't in breach of contract. Now, there are a couple of other stories, and this is actually, I'm glad we're being able to get to this. Yesterday, somebody, how did it come up that I was talking about the movie where the kid, they thought he was deaf, and they find out years and years later, he never was deaf, and he heard everything.
We were talking about that one movie about getting his sight, one guy that got his sight.
Oh, Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
Okay, I got a great email from a guy. He says, a couple of months ago, I watched a movie on the Hallmark Channel with Matthew Modine. I haven't heard that name in a long time. And by the way, I'm going to give you the name of the movie. It is exactly the one I couldn't think of. It's called What the Deaf Man Heard. He says, maybe this is the movie you were thinking of. And he didn't put his name on the email. He's from Illinois. And he closes the email with, you have the best show on the radio. Wow. What the Deaf Man Heard. I'm going to try to stream this movie because I want to see it again. I haven't seen it for years. I just remember it being a great idea. Jim Huer, who works here. Now, I know it's not Tuesday. That's when we talk about movies and TV shows. But right before we came here to go on the air, Jim Huer, one of the nicest people I've ever worked with, and he works here. He's one of the unsung heroes. He's a guy whose name, a lot of people might not know. He's crucial. And he was at the other place, too. He mentioned the movie to me because his wife likes Matthew McConaughey. And as soon as he said the name of the movie, I thought, oh, my goodness. I watched that movie, and I have never heard anybody mention it. It's called Mud, M-U-D, with Matthew McConaughey. It was a terrific movie. Now I'm going to give you another one. Billy Bob Thornton, Astronaut Farmer.
Oh,
yes. Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
it's just bizarre.
It is. That's a good way to describe it. Bizarre.
But it's good. All right, a couple other things to cover. I'm glad I'm getting back to these things because I wanted to talk about them but couldn't. I'm going to hold up a picture in the studio. I know this is not good radio. Who is that? Who do you think that is, Limey?
One of the Hepburns.
Well, close. You're young.
I have no idea.
You don't? That you don't know who that's.
There's a glare from the window.
Don't read anything. Give it back to me.
Okay. I don't know.
Most people would look at this picture and go, "Well, without a doubt, that's Judy Garland." It's not. It's Renee Zellweger.
Oh.
This movie opens tomorrow. What? Renee Zellweger. That's Judy Garland.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Folks, in the way that Jamie Foxx became Ray Charles, give me another good example. Somebody who played who played Vice President Cheney?
Christian Bale.
Yeah,
he did a good job.
In that same way, honest to goodness, this looks exactly like Judy Garland. I think Renee Zellweger was the perfect choice for this. And the movie, it's just called Judy. And I think it opens tomorrow night. I'm going to go see this. This looks really, really good. What's the other one opening tomorrow night?
Did she have like a very, tumultuous life or anything like that?
Yes.
She did?
Yeah, she was a drunk. Huge alcohol problem. Yes. Pills. You know, the typical superstar.
She was the daughter of Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz, is that right? Or she was...
She was Dorothy.
No, she was Dorothy.
She was Dorothy,
yeah.
Okay.
Judy Garland was Dorothy.
Gotcha.
And then later, she... I'm going to tell you something. This is like the greatest real... Gossip is gossip. If you call it gossip, does that mean it's not true? It means it could be true. You don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. This is not really. It's gossip, but it's absolutely true about Judy Garland. About 15 years ago, I don't know if you remember, Limey. You weren't with us, but I had a guy on the show here for an hour. His name was George Jacobs. George Jacobs wrote a book called Mr. S. He was Frank Sinatra's valet for 15 years. And George Jacobs, off the air, he just died a couple of years ago. George Jacobs, off the air, told me stuff about Sinatra and about Hollywood and the movie. But remember, he lived with Sinatra for 15 years. And then he starts telling me, people for years have said Sinatra pretty much slept with every hot, good-looking star that there was. I mean, Sinatra was Frank Sinatra. And by the way, he's hung like a horse. And that comes from George Jacobs, who has seen him coming out of the shower. And he even told me, he goes, "Man, Sinatra, he carries the big stick." But this is good. He said it was common knowledge and well known in Hollywood. Folks, I'm just repeating what Sinatra's valet said. He said the best BJ in all of Hollywood, Judy Garland. Because he would hear Sinatra and Dean Martin, all his pals, they talk. Who's this? Who does what? She's an ice queen. She's smoking hot. She does this. Yeah, that was the word. I just got a nice text from Larry Connors. You remember him? He passed away, didn't he?
No, he's still around.
Don't say that. He couldn't have because he sent me a text. He said the PBS special on country music is great. Thank you, Larry. Couldn't agree with you more. And so does Tim Woodburn. Oh, wait, no. He hates country music. Now, there's another... This morning... I read this article this morning. I've never understood how these archaeologists and scientists can tell that something's like 8 billion years old. Not 7, but 8 billion. How do you... Carbon dating?
Yeah, carbon dating.
I don't understand
that. They look at the chemical makeup of it.
But they can tell a lot of things. So now what they've done is they've dug up... these Iron Age vessels, pottery things, and some things they found in children's graves. And one of the things they found is some of the pottery pieces had spouts on them, so it was the version way, way, way back then of baby bottles. That's how they fed.
Wow.
Because some of the burial places, the babies had them buried with it. It was a little feeding thing, a little pottery with a spout, so it was like their baby bottle. So they examined the residue in the baby bottle, and they said that they know conclusively, I guess they do, I'm not a scientist, that back then, when little babies were no longer breastfeeding, they didn't have formula. You couldn't go to a drugstore. They didn't have anything.
True.
They drank the milk of animals, all kinds of animals.
Hmm. Makes sense.
And why not? A cow is an animal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you can give a baby cow milk, can you give it dog milk?
Goat milk?
Something sounds bad about dog milk. Honey?
Dog milk.
Well, honey, Tammy's hungry. Go out and get the dog.
Oh,
yeah. Would you be able to milk him, really? You know, I mean.
That's a great question. Can you milk a dog? How about cat milk? I don't think so.
I mean, they're tiny, aren't they?
Little teats, cats, they call them. Yeah. Cat teats. Dog teats. Yeah, what's what they call them? So I don't think they, it certainly obviously count, but they said it was all kinds of domesticated animals.
Huh.
Ben Stiller did it in Meet the Parents.
What?
He milked a cat. Little Geppetto.
You remember that thing Robert De Niro wore? That feeding thing where he had fake boobs and milk in them?
That was tremendous.
That was great.
YouTube has videos on how to milk your dog.
Oh, come on.
It does?
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding.
That's unnecessary.
So there are several different ways to milk a dog, and there's videos on all of them.
And for what? Why would you do that?
Hang on a second. If this is the Iron Age, did they even have dogs back then? I'm pretty sure. Well, it
said domesticated animals.
Oh, okay.
So maybe they gave little Jimmy dinosaur milk. I don't know. I mean, what was around back then? Horse milk. I don't know. Now, see, that doesn't sound good either.
Horses?
Sure. Oh, yeah. A mare. A mare has the teats, big teats, and great big old teats. And then that's how the colts. Yeah, like six of them or so. And that's how the colts, you know, that's how they get their milk from the mare teats.
There's scientists. I don't even know if I should bring this up.
Now, here's the other thing. They're talking about the Bronze Age, so maybe not just the United States. It was other places. It wasn't the U.S. So there probably was like there were elephants. Elephant milk. That's a big supply. That kid would have milk till he was 14 years old if you had an elephant.
You store that in the trunk.
Oh, that's good. That's good. but here's the deal. You don't want to mess with an elephant if she doesn't want to be milked. They can crush you.
Oh, yeah.
And not even though they did it, because they're huge. So
I like when Tim said, oh, I don't know if I should bring this up.
Well, that means you have to.
Yes.
What is it?
Well, it has to do, you know, you're talking about milk and all these other things, you know, and there's, you know, I've attended a couple of horse breeding sessions in my day.
Oh, I got a story for you.
There are people in the veterinary
equine. I found the Tom the Heckler letter with the jokes. I found it. I didn't throw it away. Got it. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
They weigh and they gauge how much comes out during a horse breeding session.
Right.
How much of what comes out?
Well,
the stuff.
Apparently, there's been as much as a half a gallon.
Oh, absolutely half gallon.
A half a gallon.
Oh, shoot, I thought we were talking about milk.
We're talking about the other milk.
Okay, that's
a half a
That's impressive.
A half a gallon,
That's impressive.
Yes, that is. Well, that's like turning on your faucet for like, you know,
give that horse 20 a
seconds.
All right. Get this. This happened in Australia, I think earlier this week. There was a big, this is not a joke, there was a huge fire at a cattle breeding facility in Australia. I've never been to Australia, so I don't know where Gippsland, Victoria, Australia is, but that's where it was. Wait till you hear this. The semen business, sorry, but the semen business is a huge business, millions and hundreds of millions of dollars. If you've got Seabiscuit or something and you want to, you know,
breed him,
they fly this stuff in tubes in like liquid nitrogen or something, so they store it. This facility stored bull semen. This is not a joke. So it catches on fire. 10 different fire crews. This is according to ABC. It took them more than 2 hours to extinguish this fire. Broke out about 3 o'clock in the morning. Shredded the building. And the fire chief said it's a miracle that some of these firemen aren't dead, because as they were fighting the fire, the liquid inside the cylinders was expanding. and blew the lids off the cylinders, and they were flying like projectiles. The semen bottles were exploding. So there's exploding semen, and there's like cylinder caps.
Just and there's fire.
Duck Limey.
Wow.
And this is not a joke, and it actually happened. Cryogenic cylinders. Flying off like projectiles being thrown through the building. Yeah. So thank you. I'm glad you said that other thing, because that's another story thing I had a chance to get to. These are all the things. Okay, now this one. Scott Sherman's at 4 o'clock, by the way.
I haven't been able to get a hold of...
Well, why don't I take care of it?
Yeah, you can.
I'll take care of it in a few minutes. One of the things covered in this Ken Burns country music documentary, by the way, everything is covered, everything you could get in 16 hours, and I think he did a fantastic job. But when they get to the part about Patsy Cline and the plane crash that killed her, Patsy Cline died at 30. How about this? Hank Williams Sr. died at 29 years old. Patsy Cline died at 30. And I think everybody thinks of them as much older than that. I don't expect anybody in this room to know the answer to this question, because you're not really that interested in country music. Do you know who else was on the plane that was killed? There were two other Opry, Grand Ole Opry stars, not as big a names, but they were on that plane.
With
Patsy Cline. Four people. The pilot was her manager. Mm-hmm. By the way, did not have an instrument rating. So he did the same dumb thing that John F. Kennedy Jr. did. He didn't have an instrument rating either. Fly into a storm, fly into the clouds, you're going to die.
I can't remember, because that was in the movie Coal Miner's Daughter.
Right.
And they mentioned who all died. I can't remember, but I like country music.
It was Cowboy Copas and Hawkshaw Hawkins. Not two real well-known names, but the funny thing about Hawkshaw Hawkins, he'd never had a number one hit. He recorded a song just before he got on that plane, and right after that crash, it went to number one. The only number one he had, he never got to enjoy or even know it happened. Which brings me to this. Other famous celebrities who have died in plane crashes, and there have been a bunch of them. Let's start with Glenn Miller, okay? The big band leader. He died in a plane, disappeared between England and Paris while he was entertaining the troops.
That's a great movie, too, with Jimmy Stewart.
Oh, what's it? Yes. The Glenn Miller story.
Glenn Miller story, yeah.
I remember the line, particularly the line where Jimmy says, yeah, let's play that one again. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
All right, so I don't think most people know who the Blackwood brothers were. R.W. Blackwood, Bill Lyles died in Clanton, Alabama. Buddy Holly died in February of 1959 in a plane crash. Who knows who was on the plane with him?
The Big Bopper.
Very good.
Richie Valens.
That's it.
That's where the song American Pie came from.
It is. And, Dan, you have to recuse yourself, because I just think you know this. Who was supposed to be on the plane?
Oh, you told... Damn it.
And they, drew straws because it was overweight.
Limey.
And he had to go by bus, and as he walked away, he said to Buddy Holly, because he played with Buddy Holly.
Right.
He said, "Fine, you guys fly, and I'll go on the bus. I hope your plane crashes." That's exactly what he said. Yeah. He has told that story, and he's the only one that lived because he didn't go on the plane.
Was it Merle Haggard?
Close. Waylon Jennings. Waylon Jennings would have died if he'd gotten on that plane.
Stevie Ray Vaughan died in a helicopter crash. Does that count?
That does count.
All right.
That does count. Leonard Skinner. Does count.
I thought that was a bus crash.
Leonard Skinner?
Was it a plane crash?
No, wait. Yeah, Leonard Skinner, I think it was a plane crash.
Yeah, it was a plane. Yeah.
Pretty sure.
Right.
Jim Reeves, country singer. Four Walls, Welcome to My World, was killed in a plane crash. Nashville, Tennessee. Otis Redding died.
Really?
His plane crashed into a lake near Madison, Wisconsin. Jim Croce died in an airplane. Bad Leroy Bound.
And he was young, too. He was fairly young.
Yeah, he was. Ronnie Van Zant and Stevie Gaines of Leonard Skinner, died in a plane crash in Macomb, Mississippi.
Oh, the guy from Metallica died on a bus crash. That was my bad.
The lead guitarist in Ozzy Osbourne's band, Randy Rhoads.
Yeah.
Oh, he died after, wasn't it a plane hit the tour bus he was on, though?
No, here's the deal. Their plane was trying to buzz the band's van, swoop down and buzz them, and Yeah, crashed.
Oh, man.
Ricky Nelson died in a plane crash.
Oh, that's right.
Plane caught fire, crashed near DeKalb, Texas. Dean Martin's son, Dino. They had a band. Limey wouldn't know this, but they had a little band, Dino, Desi, and Billy. And it was Desi Arnaz's kid and Dean Martin's kid and a guy named Billy. I don't know who he was. He was killed with his co-pilot in an F-4 Phantom.
The freakiest one that I recall was Payne Stewart.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That is the freakiest one.
He was a pro golfer.
Have you watched have you seen the footage of the planes flying next to that plane?
No. Where do you see that at?
I've seen it on YouTube.
Oh, I'll have to look that
up. No, I've watched it. It's the eerie, most, it's horrible. Because
was he flying the plane?
No. No. But it was a private plane. The plane lost pressure. Planes have commercial planes, this plane, any nice expensive plane that flies at a high altitude, they're pressurized. To compensate for, that system failed. And
how?
That's a good question. But what I read was that when that happens instantly, like you don't have time to get down to a lower altitude or to grab oxygen, you're flash frozen. It's just like everything, your organs stop and you are frozen. They said that plane, the windows were frosted over because you're so high. It's cold up there.
And it just flew until it ran out of gas,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it just kept flying. Mm-hmm. I was on autopilot. Oh. And they flanked it with a couple of planes, like fighter jets or something, and just stayed with it until, thankfully, it went down in a field or something.
Were they going to shoot it down if they thought it would project
hit
the populated area?
Yes.
Wow.
Because they knew nobody was living in there. So they could have taken it down if they had to. But they could, you got enough altitude, when you realize it's out of fuel, it starts to come down. They're pretty good at determining what's up ahead and where it might land.
Right. So you've got to glide until it hits the ground, right?
Yeah, that's very good.
So do you believe in the Bermuda Triangle?
No.
You don't?
No.
I do.
You think it's just all one big coincidence?
I do.
Wow.
I know. That doesn't make me right.
Everything just disappeared?
And you're right. Stevie Ray Vaughan died in 1990 in a helicopter crash. And a big concert promoter named Bill Graham, he was responsible for groups like Jefferson Airplane, Grateful Dead, Santana. He was killed in a helicopter crash out in California. And let's not forget this guy, John Denver. John Denver died in 1997, the year we started at the other station. He died by himself in an experimental plane. It was called a Long Easy, L-O-N-G-E-Z. And the weird thing about that plane, it was one sits in the front, one sits in the back, two-seater, like bobsled seating. And there's speculation that to switch fuel tanks, it's behind you. And he wasn't familiar with the plane. He just bought it, and he ran out of fuel and was trying to switch and didn't know how to get it. So he went to the ocean. So there you go, John Denver. And now you know, as Paul Harris says, the rest of the story.
That's Paul Harvey.
Thank you. We were supposed to connect with John Three Sticks Londoff, but we're unable to do it, so I will do the honors. Here's what you need to know. Target date for opening is December 1st for this is a huge deal, the Johnny Londoff Autoplex in St. Peter's, and that will be pre-owned cars only. Cream of the crop. Pre-owned cars. That's coming December 1st. You don't have to wait till then to get a pre-owned vehicle because they have lots of pre-owned cars at Johnny Londoff up in North County where they've been since 1960. They have lots of pre-owned and certainly lots of new Chevys, and so does every other Chevy dealer. They all have new Chevys too. And when I hear dealers saying, nobody can touch our prices, nobody can come near our prices, I don't like that kind of advertising because the truth is, there are other dealers that have similar pricing to Johnny Londoff. I don't think you're going to go anywhere, and the price for the exact same vehicle is going to be $2,000 different than it is at another dealer. Here's why you go to Johnny Londoff, because of the way you're treated, and it's the place that when they get a customer, they just got several customers for the next couple of decades, because you will tell your family, you will tell your friends, your spouse, your partner, wow, I've never had a car buying experience like that. I know, it sounds a little bit exaggerated, but it's true. Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, they know how to treat people. And they know that most people don't like buying a car. They're going to turn that around for you. They're, like I said, since 1960, North County, Washington, Elizabeth exit off Interstate 270. 24/7 at lawndoff.com. I see on the other side of the glass attorney at law Scott Sherman. I hope you made a note of the numbers. We'll give them to you again after the news. He's here to help you for the 4 o'clock hour with your legal questions, and it is 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is 590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, and 590thefan.com, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. Acting Director of National Intelligence Joseph McGuire is insisting that he followed the law in handling an explosive whistleblower complaint. Testifying in a House hearing, McGuire said he followed proper procedures.